The following is a talk that I am about to give on August 11th, 1992 in Kayamisha. The topic will be Simcha and Serenity.
I'm deeply grateful to Rabbi Leibish Becker from the Agudat Yisrael and to Mrs. Chana Brescher and to all of you for inviting me once again to come to speak to all of you. The great crowds that come to Kayamisha every single week to hear different shiurim from different lecturers is only a testimony to all of you that you're all interested in Tmeim L'Dvar Hashem. You can all be proud of yourselves for doing that in the middle of a summer vacation. I just hope that the words and the thoughts that I prepared for you tonight, you'll find them inspirational. I would like to begin with a story that I feel that is very apropos for this particular year. Some of you may have heard of the Pshischa Rebbe Rav Simcha Bunim. Rav Simcha Bunim was a Rebbe that thousands of people liked to be in his presence, especially on Shabbat. And many, many people would travel from all over just to be in his chotzer, just to be in his Dalet Amos and to daven and to hear everything that he had to say on Shabbat. And it happened one time that there was a particular Shabbos when many people were coming to the Rebbe. And there was one particular chassid who was a very terrible and a nasty person. Every place that he went, he caused fights, he caused arguments, he was a big Baal Lashon Hara. But what could the Rebbe do? He was a chassid, just like other people were chassidim. But it happened that this Shabbos, he didn't make it. He didn't come there. And much of Shabbos, he finally came. And the Rebbe went over to him and said to him, Rav Yid, we were expecting you on Shabbos. What happened? How come you didn't come for Shabbos? He said, Rebbe, I'll tell you the truth. I was really planning to come on Shabbos, to come before Shabbos and to be here. But the only thing is, I was traveling on Friday and I got stuck in this town. And then I went a little further and I got delayed over here. And I realized, obviously, I couldn't travel on Shabbos. So I couldn't come on Shabbos. And here I am, Motzei Shabbos. So the Rebbe thought for a moment and he said to him, you know, I would like to tell you something. He said, you know, Shabbos is a very wonderful host. Shabbos loves all its guests. As a matter of fact, when Rosh Chodesh comes on Shabbos, Shabbos says to Rosh Chodesh, you're so special. I'm going to give you away part of the Musaf Shemen Esra. We're going to daven after Yitzhak. You can have part of the Shemen Esra. When Yontif comes on Shabbos, Shabbos says, Yontif, you bring so much simcha to Yidden, you could even have the musaf. You could even have the laning. I'm giving it away to you. When Yom Kippur is such a special day, it brings slicha, the kapara, the Klal Yisrael. Shabbos says, you're so special, Yom Kippur. You could have all my meals. You could have all the davening. It's all yours. I'm giving it all away to you. But when Tisha B'Av tries to come on Shabbos, and Tisha B'Av brings bad memories of churban, of divisiveness, of sinas chinam, Shabbos says, you can't come on Shabbos. You have to come Motzei Shabbos. So the Rebbe said, maybe David is trying to teach you a lesson that you're a person that doesn't bring simcha to Klal Yisrael. You bring bad memories to Klal Yisrael. That's why the Avishtha made it that you should come Motzei Shabbos. And that's perhaps a lesson that we have to learn. Just as the Rebbe said to this person, if he would be Zaycha to bring Simcha, he would come on Shabbos. That's what we have to learn this year. This year, Tisha B'Av again tried to come on Shabbos, but the Gona Geholfen, it came up to Shabbos. So this is the year that I would like to talk about Simcha. As a matter of fact, Rav Shimon Schwab, the Mor D'Asra in Washington Heights, told me a very interesting deal that he made in a Gemara. All of us know the famous expression. It's in Tainus Chavov HaMetveiz, and the Gemara says, Mishenichnas Av, when Av comes in, the month of Av comes in, Mematin V'Simcha. What does Mematin mean? Mematin means you minimize the Simcha. So Rav Schwab said, not that you take away the Simcha, even in Av, you don't take away the Simcha. You just minimize it. But an element of Simcha is always there. And he said something so beautiful. He said, you know, Simcha is like the flame on a stove. When you want to cook, you have to heat up and you have to enlarge the flame. But when you don't want to cook, you lower the flame, but the pilot light always has to be there. The pilot light of Simcha, the kids today who have electronic ignition don't know what we're talking about. But the pilot light, we know that that pilot light always has to be there. And so therefore the pilot light of Simcha always has to be present. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, many people may not realize, but we are coming in a few days to a very great day of Simcha. The Gemara says in Tainus Chavov HaMedbeis, Omer Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Loi hoyu yomim toivim li Yisrael. There were no yom tov in Klal Yisrael. 2 days were exceptional yom tovim in Klal Yisrael. The first one was Chamisha Asav Av, the 15th day of Av, that's this Friday. And many people may wonder, what in the world happened on Chamisha Asav Av that's so special? Of course, the second day that's very special, the Gemara says, is Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, we can understand, after all, such a happy day, Yom Kippur, because as we said before, Shlicha V'Kapora to Klal Yisrael. But what's so special about Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av? And there was a very unique way, the way the women in Klal Yisrael used to celebrate Tu B'Av. But first, let's talk why it was special. And the Gemara goes through 3 reasons. There are a number of reasons. I want to tell you 3 of them. And these 3 reasons, as I'm telling them to you, think about the idea of unity in Klal Yisrael and think about the idea of life in Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Tainus Daf Lamed Amud Beis says, Yoim Shehutru Shvatim Lovei Zeh B'Zeh. This was the day when Shvatim were able to come together. What does that mean? In the Torah, there's a halacha that not many people are aware of. In the Torah, there's a halacha that if, let's say, a woman has no brothers, and she inherits property from her father. Let's say she's from Shevet Zvulun, for example. So she may not marry into any other Shevet, because otherwise the property that she inherited from her father now will go to her husband's Shevet. So the halacha was in the time of the Torah that any woman that inherited land from her father could not marry outside her Shevet. But later on Tu B'Av, Chazal were medayik from a pasuk, and they said that was only for that generation. But for all generations, any woman, even if she inherited property, she could marry into any shevet. Yoim shehutru shvatim lovei zeh b'zeh. They could intermarry from one shevet to the other. So that was an idea of unity in Klal Yisrael. There was a time mentioned in Shoftim, Yutes, and Chof, a very tragic time in Klal Yisrael, when there was a tremendous civil war, when many Shvatim fought with Shevet Binyamin because of a terrible, terrible Maisa, the Leges B'Givah, that happened with Binyamin. And thousands of Yidden were killed in Klal Yisrael. And because of that terrible Muhammad, and because of that terrible thing that happened, they made an Easter that no one was allowed to get married with people in Shevet Binyamin. And that went on for a while. And then eventually on Tu B'Av, in another generation, Chazal made a takana that Yoim Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Lovei B'Kahal. Shevet Binyamin could come now together. They took away that gzeira, and now once again there was unity on Klal Yisrael. That happened on Tu B'Av. And then there was a 3rd thing the Chazal said: Yoim Shekolu Boy Meisei Midbar. In the time in the Midbar, Nebach after the Chet Ha'egel and the Chet Meraglim, the Yidden knew that those men in the Midbar, they would not make it to Eretz Yisrael. And it was a frightening scenario. Every Tisha B'Av, these men would dig graves for themselves, and they would bury themselves, they would lie in the grave, and the next morning on Tisha B'Av, an announcement would be made, anybody who's alive should get up, and Nebuch, many of them didn't, and they died, and they stayed in their own grave that they had dug. And every year this went on, and every year there were people that didn't get up. And 1 year, everybody got up. And people said, hey, wait a second, I'll bet you we have the wrong day of the calendar. So on the 10th day of Av that night, they went again in the Kvarim. And the next morning, everybody got up. And they said, wait a second, this is impossible. Everybody is getting up. So maybe the calendar is all mixed up. And they did it the 11th, the 12th, the 13th. Then, Tu B'Av, the night of Tu B'Av, they saw the full moon, and they said, hey, wait a second, it can't be Tisha B'Av anymore, it's the middle of the month. So it was a tremendous simcha, because that meant everybody now was going to live. Everybody of that generation was now going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So those 3 happy things, unity with all the Shvatim, unity together with Binyamin and Klal Yisrael, and the idea of life and going into Eretz Yisrael was all established on Tu B'Av. So that was a special day. So do you know how Klal Yisrael celebrated it? A very interesting way. On that day, and on Yom Kippur, Benois Yerushalayim, the daughters of Yerushalayim, the women of Yerushalayim, they went out in the vineyard and they celebrated by making a very big dance in the vineyard, a circle. They made, it says, they made Mechaylois Yaitseis B'Kleilavan, they all wore white, Ubenois Yisrael Yaitseis B'Kleilois B'Kronim, and they celebrated with a great dance in the vineyard. And on that day, many, many Shaduchim were made. It was a wonderful, wonderful, happy day in Klal Yisrael. So the Bnei Yisachar says, on Yom Kippur, they went out and they danced. Why would women go out and dance in a circle? Why was that a day for a day Shaduchim? And the Bnei Yisachar says something very interesting. He says, that was the day that we got the Luchai Shniyais, the second Luchais we got. The Eibishter is the Chosen, Klal Yisrael is the Kala. What's the ring? The ring is the Luchais. So Yom Kippur represents the marriage of Klal Yisrael. So on that day, the women celebrated with this dance because that represented marriage and happiness and Shiduchim. Of course, Tu B'Av, as we explained, both things, Binyamin coming together with Klal Yisrael and all the Shvatim coming together, those things represented unity and Shiduchim and Klal Yisrael once again. So on that day, on Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, the women celebrated with a great circular dance in the vineyards of Klal Yisrael and Yerushalayim. So because Tu B'Av is a day of Simcha, I would like to talk tonight about various aspects of Simcha and serenity. How to accomplish it, when to have it, when not to have it, and how to act with it. The first obligation that we all have for Simcha, David HaMelech tells us in Tehillim Kuf, Pasuk Beis, Izdu et Hashem b'Simcha. A person has to do mitzvahs with Simcha. Serve Hashem with Simcha. So how do you do that? How do you serve Hashem with Simcha? And there's one answer. If you do it with enthusiasm, if you do a mitzvah b'lev shalem with your whole heart, all of you know what a half-baked cake tastes like. All of you know what a half-cooked chunk looks like. So if you daven that way, and if you do the mitzvahs that way, so it's a half-cooked chunk, it's a half-baked cake. But if you do it mit ganzen Herzen, that's one of the ways to get involved in doing the Simcha. As a matter of fact, the Mefarshim say something very beautiful. Ivdu et Hashem b'Simcha, what's the next three words? Let's look at the next three words. Boyu lefanov birenana. Come with him in song. What are the first oisiyot of boyu lefanov birenana? Beis lamed beis. Do it with your heart. Ivdu et Hashem b'Simcha. How? Boyu lefanov birenana. Do it with the heart. The next thing that we have to know is that in the Torah, one of the klolot, Nebuch from the Teichacha, it's mentioned in Dvarim Kof Ches Mem Zayin, why is Klal Yisrael Nebuch getting the Teichacha? Tachas asher lo yavaretos Hashem lechapa b'simcha uvetuv leiva. You had an opportunity to serve Hashem with simcha and with a glad heart, and you didn't do it. That's why Nebuch, the Averis, that's why Nebuch, the Einshim, come. And Rabbeinu B'chaya says on that pasuk, Shechayiv ha'odem ala simcha v'hisavke b'mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, you have to do it with guns and eyes, and you have to do it with simcha. V'ha'simcha b'maisa ha'mitzvah mitzvah b'tnei atzma. There's a separate mitzvah when you shake the lulav, when you listen to the Megillah, when you drink the Arba Kaisis. There's the mitzvah itself, and there's the simcha of the mitzvah. Omovad ha'tchar sheyesh boi ala mitzvah, yesh boi tchar al ha'simcha. There's a separate tchar that's waiting for those people who do it with al simcha, and a special tchar for those that do it together with simcha. As a matter of fact, Rav Aaron, in a beautiful essay on the inyan of simcha ha'mitzvah, says like this: Ubeinyan ha'simcha v'harotzayin munach gam kein inyan chashivat ha'mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah with simcha, it shows what kind of chashivas you have for the mitzvah. I'll tell you an interesting story that I heard from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's son, Rav Avram Shmulevitz. I happened to have the schut a number of years ago to be sukkah in Eretz Yisrael, and I got to know this wonderful person, Rav Avram. And right before the plane was leaving Matzah Yontif, it was already for me, it was that night with Matzah Yontif, but for him already, because he's in Eretz Yisrael, the Yontif was over a day before. And we were walking, he was walking me out in the streets in Ezra Tzera, and you could see the light of Yerushalayim out in the distance in the hills. It was beautiful. And all the sukkahs were being taken down, and he says, you know, before you go back, I got to tell you one more great story. And it was a beautiful story. He told me that one time, the Chassam Sofer, right at the beginning of the Zman, was interviewing two Bokhrim to come to his yeshiva. And both of these Bokhrim had fine reputation. One of them was an Eloi. He'd be accepted in all the Brooklyn yeshivas. So all this Bokhrim would be, he gave him a faher. And the second bracha was just an average boy, a fine boy, but an average boy. And the Chassam Sofer was listening to both of these Bokhrim, and then he decided to take the average boy, the fine boy, but he didn't take the Eloi. So the other Rabbeim, the Mechanchim that were in the yeshiva, they turned to the Chassam Sofer after he dismissed both boys, and they said to him, Rebbe, this Bacher has such a reputation as an Eloi, he would add so much to the Beis Medrash. How come you didn't take him and you just took the average Bacher? And listen to what the Chassam Sofer said. The Chassam Sofer said that before these Bacherim came in, I was looking out the window. And as you notice, the schach of the sukkah that had just been taken down because it was the beginning of this month was lying on the floor. The Eloi, he stepped on the schach when he walked in to the yeshiva. But the other boy, the average boy, he walked around. He walked around the schach. He didn't step on the schach. And a bacher that can step on schach a few days after sukkah doesn't have the chashivas amitvis. Such a bacher I don't want in my yeshiva. That teaches us a standard. That teaches us a standard of kedushas amitvis. If you feel a mitzvah is chashiv, then you're not going to step on the schach. Then you're going to do a mitzvah together with simcha. There's a wonderful person, Rav Mordechai Schwab, in Muncie. He told me a very touching story about a yid that he knew very, very well. He doesn't want I should mention the name. A yid that he knew in Zurich. This yid, an Erlich yid, let's call him Rav Zvulun, he was a businessman. And he had a sewing business. And he had a son, let's say the son is Daniel. And he said Daniel was getting 17, 18 years old. And Rav Zvulun brought his son into the business. And he trained him, and the boy was a very, very bright boy. They came from a German family. And they began sending the boy on business trips, but never overnight. One day the boy was about 19, 20 years old, and the father said to him, you know, I want you to go on a business trip. He sent him to Locarno, from Zurich down to Locarno, which is near the Italian border. It's a 5-hour train trip. He told him, I want you to go there. You're going to be there for a couple of days. You'll take care of businesses that we have to tend to. And the bracha was very happy. Now, the next morning, after Rav Zvulun came home from shul, he happened to walk into the boy's room. And he noticed that the boy's talis was home. Now, you know, or many of you know that, certainly that German boys wear talisim by davening even before they get married. After they're married, they wear the talis over their head. Usually, we wear talisim only after we get married. But Germans and Svartish Bokhrim, they wear talisim even before they get married. Many of the German children even wear talisim even before their bar mitzvah. So now, the father saw that the talis of this boy was here. The tefillin he had taken, but the talis he left. So the father went to the business, told somebody to take the business, and he traveled 5 hours by train, and he went to Locarno, and he came to the hotel where his son was staying, and he knocked on the door, and when the son saw him, he was so stunned, he couldn't believe it. He says, Tata, is everything okay? Is everything okay with the family? Why did you come here? He says, you know, I believe that you forgot something important. He says, what did I forget? Papers for the negotiations? Did I forget something for the business? He said, no, you forgot your talis. He said, I can't believe you made this trip just for the talis. Now, some people say that the father told him, yes. And the boy said to him, thank you for bringing me the talis. And the father said, no, I didn't bring you the talis. You have to go back for it. But I called the family in Switzerland, and they say that the father didn't do that, but he rather brought the talis to the child. But either way, I spoke to the grandson of this boy, Daniel. I spoke to him, he's a mashgiach and a very choshev yeshiva. And he said to me, what I want to tell you now, we know this story in the family. And again, some say that the father made him go back, and some say that the father wouldn't do that, but rather he brought the talis. But either way, he says, I want to tell you something. This man, my grandfather, he was recently in Eretz Yisrael. And he came back from Eretz Yisrael, and he bought all the children the same present. All the boys in the family, he bought them a talit. And Rav Mordechai Schwab told me that when he heard this story many years ago, he went to Rav Naftali Leibowitz, who was the Mashgiach in Branovich, and he said, imagine a man in Zurich would make such a trip for a talit. And the Mashgiach gave him a brilliant answer. He said he didn't make a trip for the talit. He made a trip for generations. And that's so true, because that made such an impression, whether the father made him go back or whether the father even brought the talit to him. Either way, it showed a chashivas of a mitzvah that this son never forgot, that when he comes many, many years later, when he's a grandfather, he's still buying talitim for his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. What does that mean? That if we have simcha for a mitzvah, if we have chashivas for a mitzvah, then we not only get a certain schar, as Rabbeinu Bechaya says, but we give that over to our children. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to say that the first generation of people who came to the Lower East Side, they were all frum. But how did it happen that all their children became not frum? And he gave a brilliant answer. He used to say this many times at the Aguda convention. He said, you know why? They were frum. They were Shemesh Shabbos. But they would come home and they would complain. They'd say, ah, we have to be Shemesh Shabbos. We're going to lose our job. It's terrible. Imagine Nebuch. We're in America and we have to be Shemesh Shabbos. And he said, the children, they didn't see the Shemir Shabbos. They saw the Atzvos. They saw the pain, the depression, the sadness in doing the mitzvah. So they figured, what do they need it for? Shabbos didn't mean anything to them. So if we make it that a mitzvah is chas v'shalom a burden, and we don't do it with simcha, chas v'shalom, then our children will just throw it away. Rav Elia Lapian says that so many times we do mitzvahs just the same way we did it as when we were children. So he says, you may say, what does that mean? When we're older, we understand what a mitzvah is. We understand we went to school, we went to yeshivas, like yankas. Well, what do you mean we do it like children? And he gives a good insight. And he says, you know what that means? When a kid davens, he can't wait back. He can't wait to get back to his toy. He just wants to finish and get it over with. When a woman davens, she just wants to get over with, and then she'll get back to the car pool. She'll get back to the housework. When a man davens, he just wants to get back to the phone. He wants to get back to his business. So it's the same idea. The kid wants to get back to the toys. The mother wants to get back to the phone. The father wants to get back to the business. So it's the same idea. You're just trying to get it over with. It's just a burden. And that's something that we have to be so careful about. Rav Chaim Vital was the Talmud of the Arizal. And he was asked, how did his Rebbe reach such great height? And he said, you know how my Rebbe reached such great height? He reached such great height because he had Simchat HaMitzvah. And that's what we have to strive for. You know, in 1951, there was a tremendous machlokes in Eretz Yisrael. Most of us here are probably too young to remember it, but of course this is a story that has made the rounds, and I feel that it's a mitzvah to be mefarshim because there's a great insight here from the Chazrei Nish. In 1951, the Israeli government decided that women would be drafted into the army. All Israeli women, frum and not frum, would be drafted into the army. And there was a tremendous machlokes about that. And the Chazon Ish came out with a statement, and the Brisker Rav came out with a statement. And they said that women have to be willing to give their lives, but chas v'sholem, not to go into the army because of everything that would be maharis from what we stand for in Klal Yisrael. And Ben-Gurion himself realized that of all the people in Eretz Yisrael that were tumbling, and everybody was tumbling in every shul and in every house and in every school and in every public gathering, he knew there was one person that would make a difference. If he could convince this one person, then he could have his victory. And so one day he made an appointment to see the Chazrei Nish. And he came to the Chazrei Nish and he said to him, Rebbe, I don't want that there should be a civil war in Klal Yisrael. What are we going to do between the frum and the non-frum? I feel strongly about my position. You feel strongly about your position. How are we going to resolve this? And the Chazrei Nish said something so brilliant. The Chazrei Nish said to Ben-Gurion, I'm not a politician. I'm not a statesman. All I know is the Gemara. And the Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis, Amed Beis. And the Gemara says that let's say there are two camels that are about to come on the top of a mountain. One camel is coming this way, and the other camel is coming this way, and they're coming near the top of the mountain. And on the top of the mountain is a very narrow ridge, and only one camel can fit. Which camel has the right of way? And the Gemara says that the camel that's carrying the heavier burden, that camel has the right of way. And the Chazonish said, we have been carrying the burden of Torah and mitzvahs all the way from the years of Sinai. You have given up that burden for whatever reason, but we carry the burden, and so therefore we have the right and we have the privilege. And of course Ben-Gurion saw that there was no question that the Chazonish was right, and of course the rest is history. Of course Yiddish girls, Frum girls, don't have to go into the army. But what do we see from that? That burden is not only a privilege, but it's a responsibility. I recently had the schutz to be in London. I was speaking in various places, and one very late night, Mata Shabbos ends over there after 10:30, so but there was a little Malava Malka, and an elderly lady, Dogazuntan, she came over to me and she said, I'm waiting for years to tell somebody this story. I've never told it to anyone. And I want to tell you this story because I want you to record it. And of course, just because somebody wants me to record a story is not a reason to record it, unless it has value. And this story has so much value that it was worth going to London just to hear this story. And she told me, together with another woman who was there, that in the last weeks of Bergen-Belsen, in the last weeks of the concentration camp, there was never no water. There was no water, and the people had such little food that the women in the barracks in Bergen-Belsen were literally dying one after the other. People wished they would die because there was such pain from starvation and from hunger. And there was one young girl, a 19-year-old girl, her name is Esther Fleischman. And this Esther Fleischman was begging people for water. Sometimes she would just fall into a semi-conscious sleep. But she was begging somebody, please get me water, I can't make it any longer. People never would go to sleep and they wouldn't wake up the next morning, and she wanted to have that one glass of water. And then two nights later, finally, the lady who told me the story, her sister was able to go out. At the risk of her life, she went out from the barrack, and she went out and she got less than a quarter of a cup of water. And she came back to this girl, Esther Fleischman, and she gave her the water, and she said, here, my dear, wet your lips, drink a little. And she said, as she took the cup of water, that's not the reason that I wanted the water. I'm not going to make it. I wanted the water so I can wash my hands. And she washed her hands, and she said, Shema Yisrael, and when she was up to the word V'yahavta, she died, right in front of these two women. How many opportunities do we have to do Netilas Yadayim? How many opportunities do we have to do mitzvah? And yet this girl, Esther Fleischman, the Lovna Alistika Ganegin, she lived 2 days just to beg for water. She should be able to wash her hands one more time just so she should say Ayyidish Vort. If we see such Mesiris Nefesh, we have to remember this one Vort that I heard from Abshalom, which is, of course, he's the Maggid of Yerushalayim. He said such a beautiful Vort. He touched the pasuk in Tilam Kuf Chavav. We say it in the Shir HaMaloi. Holos Yelech Uvochoi Noisei Meshech Hazorah Boyavoi Berina Noisei Alamoitav. We all know that pasuk. We all sing it. And he types it in such a beautiful way. Holos Yelech Uvochoi. If somebody goes and he cries, he does the mitzvah, but he bellyaches about it. He complains about it, but he does the mitzvah. Noisei Meshech Hazorah. He's going to carry the meshech, the amount of what he planted, he's going to get a schar. But boy, yovoy, berina, if somebody does a mitzvah with simcha and with song, noisei alamaisam, he will carry bundles and bundles of schar. And so this is the first part of the talk. The inyan of trying to be mechazik ourselves, to be an oyved Hashem with simcha, to do the mitzvahs, to know that we live in a great country where we have the freedom to do mitzvahs as many as we want and as often as we want. And we should take advantage, and knowing that in this month, of this day before Tu B'Av, we should undertake to do our mitzvahs, the simcha. What exactly is simcha? There's a very interesting pasuk in Tehillim Lamed Aleph, pasuk Chet. David HaMelech says, Ogila the esmecha v'chazdecha. I will exult and I'll be glad at your kindness. Some of us say, what's the difference between gila and Simcha. And one of the Mefarshim said something so beautiful. Gila is from the word gal, like a wave. Like you're swimming and you see suddenly a tremendous wave is coming to you. All of a sudden there's this great wave. That's what Gila means, a burst of happiness. Somebody tells you, this girl got engaged, ah, wonderful. This person had a baby. This boy got the job that he was waiting for. Your friend won a trip to Eretz Yisrael. Wonderful, sudden news, great news. That's Gila. Simcha is different. Simcha, the Rambam says in Hilchos Deis, Perek Aleph Halacha Dalet, he gives us a way how to act. And he says, don't be a joker all the time. Don't be sad and depressed all the time. Ella sameach kol yomov. Be happy all your days, benachas, with calmness, with an inner serenity, with an inner feeling of happiness, besever panim yofeis, with a nice, friendly countenance. That's what Simcha is all about, and that's what we have to strive for. So how do we get this serenity? How do we get this inner calmness? And I once heard a beautiful verse that Pam told me that he read it once as a child. He said, people are always looking for the city of happiness, but they don't realize that it's in the state of mind. Such a beautiful verse. People are always looking for the city of happiness, but they don't realize that it's in the state of mind. Such a beautiful verse and such an emes lamitoi, because happiness is really up here. And how can we attain that happiness? I believe one of the ways to attain happiness is to look for the good in people. Look for the good in people. There's so much goodness in people. Of course there's badness in people. And again, I heard a beautiful story. This perhaps is a famous story, but I feel again it's a mitzvah to be mafarsim as the chaz are over. Rabbi Lazar Silver was a rav in Cincinnati for many, many years. But at the end of the war, he was involved in the Varasola. And he came to the DP camps. And there was a man who came over to him. And of course, Rabbi Lazar Silver, those of us who had the schus to see him, knew that he was a very charismatic person. Every place, I remember when he used to come to Camp Aguda, all of a sudden, everybody was always crowding around him. He always had a good verse, a light verse for everyone. And so, of course, there was a great crowd around him. And a man, a mechutzef, came over in front of everybody. And he said, Rabbi, I will never be a religious Jew. So everybody got quiet. And Rabbi Lazar Silver said to him, why do you say that? He said, I saw something in the concentration camps that will stay with me forever and make me not religious. He said, what did you see? He said, I saw in my barracks there was a man who had a siddur, and he wouldn't lend it out to anyone unless that person gave him their daily ration of bread. How can a man who had a siddur be so cruel and take the daily ration of bread from someone just to use his siddur? And of course, everybody stood around to see what Rabbi Lezer Silva said. And Rabbi Lezer Silva, in his Gavaldika Pikha, said, sir, why do you look at the person who had the siddur? Why don't you look at the people who gave up the bread? And that's something to remember. Those people who gave up the bread, look for the goodness in people. Don't look, chas v'shalom, for the badness of people. There's a Rebbe in Chaim Berlin, Rav Shimon Goldstein, who told me a very nice story recently. A story that happened with him many years ago. He learned in Chaim Berlin, and one time it happened that Rav Huttner was asked to come to a bris up in the Bronx. I always have to tell one bris story. Rav Huttner had to go from the bris, from the Brooklyn up to the Bronx, and they were sitting in the cab together, and there was a fellow, the cab driver had a Yiddish name, a place like Goldberg or Yanovsky, something like that. So it wasn't from at all. And obviously, as they were driving from Chaim Berlin and going up to the Bronx, the man, the driver, obviously realized that there was a very important rabbi in the back. So without saying anything, he had a cap on the seat, and he picked up the cap and he put it on his head. He was sitting there without a yarmulke, but he put the cap on without saying anything. So Rav Huttner turned to Rav Shimon Goldstein and said in Hebrew, so that the man shouldn't understand, "Mi yodea kama schar ba'olam hazeh yesh lo al tnu hazu." Who knows how much schar this person has for this little action that he did? So Rav Shimon Goldstein turned to the Rosh Hashim and said, "For what? For putting on a cap? What? You're like, what is that?" So he says, "Let me tell you a story." And he said to him like this. that the Chiddushi Harim, the first Getter Rebbe, used to go to the mikveh every day. And he used to go together with the Shamus. And he used to go in a roundabout way. He never went the direct way to the mikveh. And one day the Shamus said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, why do you go this way, the roundabout way? You're going the long way. Why don't you go the direct route? And listen to what the Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, when we go around the long way, we pass the train station. And there are certain big bulvanas, the Yiddish fellows, they don't know anything about Yiddish guys. They're not frum, they don't know anything about learning, davening, nothing. But when they see me coming, they all of a sudden straighten up, they put on their caps, and they say, Rabbi Shemaya is coming, the Rebbe is coming. And they give me, and they bow, and they say, Agud Morgan. So they have covered a Torah. So I go out of my way to give them an opportunity to have Olam Haba. At least let them get a little bit of Olam Haba for their Kavod HaTorah. So instead of looking at these big bulvanas who know nothing, and who knows what kind of language they use, and who knows what they do day and night, yet the Chiddush Harim looked for the goodness in them and went out of his way every day to find the goodness in these people, the Kavod HaTorah. That's what we have to begin doing, finding the goodness in people. There's a beautiful expression, if you throw mud, your hands remain dirty. In other words, many times if you become critical, you become a nasty, wretched person. How many times do we go to a wedding and the food is delicious? The basket that the bread was in was the challah itself. So unusual, so nice. But when we come home, what's the first thing we say? You know, this hall had no space for dancing. That's the first thing you talk about. What about the good things? Sometimes you come to a shul, and the Rav gives such a great drasha, and he tells such a great story that you say, boy, if I see Pesach Kron, I'm going to tell him that story. That's one for him, right? It's a great story. So what do you come home? You say, you know, there was no air conditioning in shul. It was so hot. What's with the president? We got to get a new president, right? Well, what kind of business is that? That's the first thing you talk about. Sometimes you come for a kiddush, right? The kiddush by the bar mitzvah, and you met so many people from all the shuls. You come home, you know, the first thing you say, the liver was awful. And it's so true. We always come home criticizing. Rosh Hashanah, right? Rosh Hashanah, the Baal Tekeah, had a tough time. It was very hot. It was very humid. So you come home and you say, you know, the Baal Tekeah, he really blew it. Is that nice? Of course, it's a cute pun. But I want to tell you, I told you before, I had this chus to be in London. And I was there with my wife. We were there for a week. And we met the most wonderful people. We met the most wonderful children in the schools, and we saw many, many interesting things that don't exist in America. And one day we were walking, and I said to my wife, you know, when we go back, let's not, everybody's going to ask, how was the trip? Let's not tell them that we didn't see the sun in 7 days. I'm not telling anybody. Let's not tell them that it was cloudy and that it was rainy or foggy. Let's not tell them that every store that we went into in the afternoon when we were starving, we couldn't buy a thing because there's no such thing as the OU. There's no such thing as Rabbi Heinemann's Ashgachas or the Chicago. No matter where you go in America, you can always find something that has an Ashgacha. In London, there's no such thing. So we're not going to tell anybody about those things, right? But let's only talk about the positive. Let's talk about the good things. And that's what we should do. And that's what I've told, except for you. I never told anybody that I didn't see the sun. Right, now you're going to tell everybody. But the idea is that when you do something, there's always the good and there's always the bad. Think about the good. It'll make you a happier, better person. Try to appreciate people for what they are. One of the nicest stories that I've ever heard about appreciation was a story that I heard from my mechatenis's father. He's a wonderful man who lives in Detroit. His name is Mr. Alex Roberg. An elderly gentleman. Today he's retired. He was a day school Rebbe for many, many years. And he told me a number of years ago he went to Eretz Yisrael to visit his sister. He hadn't seen his sister in years. And he went to a shul in Petah Tikva. And there, of course, like Dominican Klal Yisrael, he came to shul, and they gave him an aliyah. Fine, that's expected. Right after laning, the gabbai came over to him and said, I want you to have hagba. So he was surprised. Usually if you give somebody an aliyah, you don't give him hagba. So okay, after davening, he went over to the gabbai. He said, you know, excuse me, but I don't hope you don't mind my asking, you know, that you gave me the aliyah of, why did you give me? He says, I'll tell you the truth. I wasn't going to give you hagba, but there was a man here in shul, a prominent man, who insisted that you should get hagba. So he said, who is that man? He said, it's the man standing over there by the svarim. So he went over to the man. He said, excuse me, but I don't know you. I don't think I know you. Why did you want that I should have hagba? He says, You don't know me, but I know you. He says, many, many years ago, this was over 30 years ago, this man's name was Felix Beifus. He said, many, many years ago, you were already in a Talmud Torah in a small town in Germany. And in that town, we were very, very prosperous. And it was before the war, and the Germans were beginning to make tzaras on Yidden. And my younger brother-in-law was taken for no reason. He was, and my mother-in-law said that if my brother-in-law gets out of jail alive and well, she will donate a Sefer Torah to the shul. And a few months later, Hitaka was freed. And my mother-in-law that day called a Sefer in Frankfurt, and a Sefer Torah was written, and we eventually presented it to the shul. They couldn't dance in the streets, but they made a very big simcha in the shul. They filled in the last letters. And then he says, it came time to lift up the Sefer Torah. We wanted someone to have hazba. And I looked around, and I saw you. And you were the Rebbe of our children. And you had raised the level of Torah education in our community. So we felt that you deserved to have hazba. This Sefer Torah, we were zeicha to be able to take it out of Germany, and we brought it to Eretz Yisrael. And this is this same Sefer Torah. And we wanted that you should have the schus and the opportunity to lift up this Torah once again. We all have complaints against the Rebbes of our children. But if we appreciate the good that they do, then we will be happy, and certainly they will be happy. So that's one way to attain simcha. Look for the good in people. There's an interesting story that Rav Tuvia Goldstein told me. Rav Tuvia Goldstein, of course, is the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshiva Emek Halacha, just a wonderful, wonderful person. And he told me he remembers when he was in Branovich, and one night Rav Elchanan wasn't feeling well. And Rav Elchanan asked that a few Bokharim should come to his home to make a minyan, because he wasn't feeling well. And that day, a new Bokhar came into the Yeshiva. He had not been in the Yeshiva before. And so they brought a group of Bokharim. Rav Tuvia was one of the 10 that came. And this new Bokhar, he also came. We're not going to complain about the air conditioning. And this new Bokhar came also to daven, to be one of the 10. They asked this Bokhar to daven for the Amid. Now this Bokhar never knew what it meant to daven in a yeshiva. And he didn't daven slow like they daven normally in a yeshiva. But he ran through the davening. And Rav Elchanan kept looking up, where is this guy running to? He wasn't used to a bachur davening like this. And afterwards, after the davening, as this boy was walking out, Rav Elchanan called him over. And Rav Elchanan said to him, it says in the Torah, Vayikra Chavov Pasuk Yizayin, part of the Tosafot, V'nashtem V'ein Roidei Feschem, you will run even when people are not chasing you. That's part of the Tosafot. In other words, he was telling him, no one was chasing you. You're running. That's part of the Teichacha. And I believe that if we're running and no one is chasing us, that's part of the Teichacha. We have to stop running. We have to start smelling the flowers. No one has time to smell flowers anymore. You know, Rabbi Yankov said a Gavaldik Avart. Rabbi Yankov said that in America we've saved Shabbat, but we've lost Erev Shabbat. You know what that means? Today, nobody has to work on Shabbat. You have all these laws, these civil rights laws, all these blue laws. Nobody can force you to work on Shabbat. But where's the Erev Shabbat? We're running like Meshugayim. There's no time for family. There's no time for friends. There's no time for anything. That's why we can't be happy, because by the time we finish one project, we're on the next project. We can't even enjoy the fact that we finished the first one. We have to begin to slow down. There's a lady in this audience that I feel is a tremendous tzidkanias. Obviously, I can't mention her name. She goes through a tremendous amount in her life, and I asked her, how do you maintain simcha? And she gave me the best possible answer. She said, I consciously and constantly am thanking Hashem for all the good that's in my life. And that's so beautiful. When we say moedim every day, when we say moedim, do we think of the words, al chayenu absurim yadecha? Do we think of the fact, did anybody here really thank Hashem that we're alive today? Did anybody thank Hashem, al nishmaytzeinu, apkureis loch? Did anybody thank, al nitzecha, shebechol yom, there were no car accidents here today, Baruch Hashem, we all made it. There's so much good that happens to every person in their lives. Do we thank Hashem? You know why we don't thank Hashem? Because we think, one, we think circumstance, and second, we think it's nature. It's nothing special, of course, it's natural. But I saw a great verse. The word Hateva, which means nature, is equal to 86. The word Elohim is also equal to 86, which means to tell you that even Teva is something that you have to be grateful because it comes from Hashem. And you know what's also 86? That's how many words there are in Moedim. 86 words. So tonight, if you daven Ma'ariv, or tomorrow when you say Moedim, count those words. Think about all the wonderful blessings that we have. The children, the husband, the job. Today, if you have a job, you have a lot to be grateful for. We have to think the fact that we're able to afford a vacation, we're able to be here, we're able to come to a shir, we're able to be among friends. How many cities in the world can put together a crowd like this? But here, we have so many wonderful people that are working for us to put together these shirs. Does it ever occur to us to thank the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that we're in such a wonderful tzviva? We have to look around and see the goodness that we have. The Medrash Rabban Vayikra Tet Oy Zayin says, La'osit kol ha'kabonis b'teilin. All the kabonis will be bottled except for the carbon taida. Never will a carbon taida be bottled, because you always have to bring a carbon taida, because that makes you realize the wonderful things that you have. Kol ha'tfilis b'teilin. All the tfilis will be bottled except ha'hoidoa eina b'teilin. Moedim will never be bottled, because if you concentrate on the goodness that you have, then you will see that there's plenty of time to smell the flowers. You know, Nebuch, a number of years ago, Rav Shneur Kotel lost a son, Rav Meir. I remember Rav Meir in Camp Aguda many years ago, a fine, wonderful boy. And he married, he had children, and he Nebuch died very young. And when Nebuch sitting Shiva, there was nothing that anybody could say to him. And he sat there quietly. Hundreds and hundreds of people came. And finally, one day in the Shiva, the Blushevi Rebbe came to him. And of course, when the Blushevi Rebbe came, everybody separated and let the Rebbe come up front. And the Blushevi Rebbe took a look at Rav Shneur, and he said to him, Rosh Hashiva, ich bin di mekana. I'm jealous of you. And Rav Shneur could not believe what he heard. And he didn't pick up his head. He couldn't believe that somebody would say that to him. And then the Blushevi Rebbe said again, Rosh Hashiva, ich bin di mekana. And Rav Shneur looked up to him. And then the Blushevi Rebbe said, many years ago, he said, I had a daughter, and I had a granddaughter, a beautiful daughter and a beautiful granddaughter. They never were lost on the other side in Europe. I have no idea when they were lost. I have no idea where they're buried. I will never see a future from that daughter. But you, Rosh Hashiva, you have a keva to visit. You have a yahrzeit to commemorate. You have children and will have grandchildren from your son. Everything is relative. Imagine, after the Shiva, Rav Shneur called the Blushevi Rebbe to thank him for coming, because he told him he really put his life in perspective. Who would ever think that that's something to be grateful for? But if you take time out and you think about what you have and think about all that you may have that others don't have, that will be a way that you'll come to Simcha. There's a tefillah in the Gemara of Brachos, which is really startling. The Gemara of Brachos, Kavches Amadei, tells us that Rav Nechunya ben Hakana was mispalel when he went into the Beis Medrash, and when he came out of the Beis Medrash, he was mispalel a certain tefillah. Listen to this tefillah and think about who's saying it. Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, one of the Tanoim, he said, Yehirot ben Lufanech Hashem Elokai, I'm begging you, please, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, help me, Shelo Ye'era Dvar Takol Al Yodi, that there shouldn't be anything that should happen. V'loy Ekoshel B'dvar Halach, I shouldn't make any mistakes. V'yismuchu B'chaveri, and my friends are going to be happy when I make the mistake. And I'm asking you that I shouldn't say, I'm Tomei Tohar, I'm Tohar Tomei. And make it that my friends shouldn't have any mistakes, and I would be happy with their mistakes. And the Orcha Tzadikim and Shara Simcha asked, What is going on here? Rav Nechunya ben Hakana is being mispalel that another Tana shouldn't be happy when he makes a mistake, or he's being misfollowed, that he shouldn't be happy when another Tana makes a mistake. Who are we talking about here? And the Orchas Tzaddikim tells us something startling, that if each of us look into our heart, we'll see how true it is. He says, you know why Rav Nechunya ben Hakana did that? He says, because he says, that's a davar matzoi. She'echod yismach betos chavera. There are many people that are happy when somebody else makes a mistake. Kedei she'yehu reiseach at chavera. He should feel glorified. He should feel vindicated that he's happy when somebody else makes a mistake. And v'yiyel Hashem, he'll have a good reputation. And he says, v'af kamo b'nei odom chashuvim einu nizharim b'zeh. That means there are rabbonim. If one rav makes a mistake, another rav will secretly be happy. Ha! I would never paskin that way. So if rabbonim have to be mispalel, that they shouldn't be happy with somebody else's mistake, shouldn't we think about the pasuk that says in Mishlei, which is often quoted wrong, the right way to pronounce the pasuk is benafoil or yivcha al tisma. When your enemy fails and falls, don't be happy. That's a happiness that you shouldn't have. You know, there's a beautiful story that when Rabbi Yitzchak Zalman used to tell the story, he used to cry at the Avos Yisrael that Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan had. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan once got a shaila in the mail from two people who signed a letter. And he couldn't understand, what do you mean? This is such a poshet a shaila, it's an open a shach in Yerzeya. How could somebody ask this shaila? And he looked at where the letter came from. And he saw that the letter came from a town where he hardly ever got any shilas from, and he's certainly not from these two people, and there was a chosh of a rov in that town. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan thought, you know, I'll bet you I know what happened. I'll bet you that the rov in that town paskined wrong. And these two guys are writing a letter now, and they want that I should write them the right stuff, and they're going to show the rov that, you see, you're paskined wrong. So listen to the genius that Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan did. First, he sent a letter with the wrong answer. He wrote him back, this is the answer, it was wrong. And the next day, he sent a telegram saying, the letter that I sent you is wrong. This is the right stock. So now look at this. These guys, they got the letter, they couldn't use it because the telegram, which came first, said, hey, wait, that letter is wrong. But they couldn't show the telegram either because the telegram showed that even Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan made a mistake. So he purposely made a mistake so that that rub shouldn't look bad. But of course, he didn't want that the stock should come out wrong, so he sent a telegram with the right stock. But at least he saved face for that other person. If we are trying to get a business client, or we're trying to get an account, and we don't get it, and our competitor doesn't get it also, is it right to be happy that he didn't get it? If you didn't get it, it's bad enough, but don't be happy that he didn't get it. Sometimes there's a lady who hasn't stopped talking about that human hair shaitel that she's going to get. For weeks, you've been listening in shul when that human hair shaitel is coming. And finally, on Yotze, there it is, and it's not that great. Is it right to be happy? Don't you feel great? She shouldn't have talked about it all this time. But is it right? If, let's say, that you wanted your son to be the valedictorian, or the salutatorian, and he didn't get it, and the kid who did get it makes a mistake up there, are you going to feel happy? Ha, you see, he didn't deserve it either. Is that what our mind does? Or when a rich man makes a deal and it goes sour, do we feel a little joy? We shouldn't do that. We should try to be bigger than that. B'nefoil o yivcha al tismach. There's a time for simcha, but not at someone else's expense. Happiness is also attained when you give, not only when you get. You know, the Rambam says, it's in Hilchas Purim, and the Rambam says in Hilchas Megillah Perek Beis Halacha Yud Zayin, he says it's better that a person should give matanas lev yoinim better than having a big suda and inviting your friends. He says, because if you make a poor person, a yotam, an almona, you make these people happy, that happy shehamasameach leivhalm lolim, if you make an unfortunate person happy, you're doimet to the shechina shenemar lahachyos ruach shvolim ulahachyos leiv nitkoyim. If you make other people happy, that's the way that you will get real simcha. Things do not make a person happy. Things, people who want to have things, there are many people who want to have the latest gadgets, the latest computers, the latest toys. There's never an end. And it can't make a person happy, because once he has this and somebody else has something else, he has to have that also. Things do not make people happy. Happiness is up here. If you give to somebody and you have had an impact on someone's life, if you made a difference in someone's life, if you gave him money, if you gave him time, if you gave him chizuk, that's what's going to make you feel proud of yourself. That's what's going to make you feel happy. And besides everything else, there's a price to pay for those people who accumulate and accumulate. Everybody knows the famous expression in Pirkei Avot, Marba Nechosim, Marba Daiga. And the Medrash Shmuel says over there that the simcha that you think you're going to have is only 1/1000 of all the worries that you're going to have from the great accumulation. People are jealous. People have kinnah. People have sinnah. People are not happy for you when you have so much and you flaunt it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Beis, Amud Aleph says, La'olam have a kabo v'kayim. Keep a low profile. Then the Slang Levin. Don't tell everybody everything that you got. Don't try to accumulate and accumulate. The way is really to give of your time. Give of yourself. Give to others. I want to tell you a story about a Rebbe who gave to a special person. This person, Rav Aryeh Maletsky, who's the son-in-law of Rav Shalom Shradron, he told me this story. And he said this is his favorite story. He told me that before the war, before the Second World War, there was a chush of a lady in Yerushalayim who never, she had a child who wasn't walking. And she went to many doctors, and the doctor said that there's nothing that they could do for her. And she went to this Rebbe, this Vila Rebbe, and she went to this Vila Rebbe and she begged him, Rebbe, please give me a bracha. She's had other children that were younger and were walking already, and this Chayel HaNevach was not walking. And the Rebbe said, there's nothing that I can do. And of course, that made her cry even more. And she said, Rebbe, I went to all the doctors. You're the last hope. Please, I'm begging you, give me a bracha. And the Rebbe know when they can help and when they can't help. And he said, there's nothing that I can do. And she said, Rebbe, my husband is sitting and learning. My father is one of the Gedolei Hador. My brother is one of the Gedolei Hador. Please help me. And the Rebbe said, I wish I could help you, but there's nothing that I could do. So she said, what can I do? So the Rebbe said, the only thing I can tell you is that there's a Kabbalah in Yerushalayim, that if a person has a Tzara, he should go to the Kais HaMaravi 40 days in a row. And if he goes 40 days in a row to the Kais HaDavin, Hashem will answer. And this lady, years later, she could not believe that she said what she said. She turned to the Rebbe, she said, Rebbe, I can't go 40 days in a row. I have other young children. I have a house to take care of. You go for me. You be my shliach. You daven. She couldn't believe that the words came out of her mouth, but that was her last resort. And the Rebbe said, that I'll do. I'll be your shliach. I'll daven. And the lady started counting her own tefillah. She didn't know if the Rebbe went that day or the next day, but every single day she counted. And on the 40th day, she heard a scream from the other room, and this lady, who is the wife of Rav Shalom Shradron, her and Rav Shalom, her husband, they went in and they saw the little girl fell off the bed and took her first step. And this girl eventually married Rav Aryeh Maletsky, that's his wife. Of course, that's why it's his favorite story. But what do we learn from this? We learn, what did the Rebbe give? He couldn't give a bracha, but he could give his time. He went and he davened, and that's something that all of us can do. We know many, many people that never have so much tzaret. The least that we can do for them is to daven for them. I just want to end with one more thought about happiness. Happiness, I went to my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, and I said to him, tell me, how does a person attain happiness? And he said, happiness, in one word, is nitzachon, conquest. I said to him, what does that mean? He said, all of us have a mulchamas hayetzer. All of us have midah that have to be improved. Some of us are lazy. Some of us look for covet. Some of us have anger. Some of us can never admit that we're wrong. Work on that midah. Work on that midah and you'll be so proud of yourself. The next time, if you're a person that usually gets angry, the next time somebody cuts you off on the highway, you control yourself and you don't scream. The next time you lose a safe or a book, you don't turn over the whole house in a fit of rage, but you control yourself. Then you'll be happy because you're a bigger and better person. There are many people that are boastful and they always have to tell people what they accomplished. The next time you accomplish something, try not to tell everybody about it. Try not to tell everybody how great your children are and what they've accomplished. Try not to be boastful. As far as anger, I heard something that's so beautiful. You know, Rav David Leibowitz, who's the father of Rav Henoch Leibowitz, Rav David Leibowitz was the founder of Yeshiva Chavetz Chaim. He once said such a beautiful verse. He said, you know, imagine a father comes home Friday night from shul, and he sees the challah is not on the table. And he gets so angry, and he says, what, is this the first Shabbos that we had here? Where's the silverware? Where's the challah? How come nothing is ready? Of course, the house was a behola, and it should have been ready, but it wasn't. But there are guests in the house, and there are kids, there are friends. And the father embarrasses the children, he embarrasses his wife, and he doesn't realize what's the reason why the challah is covered. You know what it says in Mishnah Berurah? Really, you're supposed to make a bracha if you have wine in challah in the middle of the week. You're supposed to really make a bracha on the challah. But Friday night, because of Kiddush, we make a bracha on the wine. So it says in Mishnah Berurah, Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, Sifkot Mem Aleph, in the Tur, B'Shem HaYerushalmi, the reason you cover the bread, the challah, Shelo Yireh HaPas Boishtoi. The pas shouldn't see how it's getting embarrassed. That's why you cover the challah. So the father who sees the challah dekel on the table doesn't realize that that's a lesson in not being angry. That's a lesson in controlling yourself. And he's yelling, Dafka, about the challah. But the challah is the thing that should teach him the lesson the challah cover. So that's something that we have to remember. If we have to be sensitive to the feelings of challah, then of course we have to be sensitive to the feelings of human beings. So if we conquer our anger, or conquer our gaiva, or conquer the fact that sometimes we're wrong. And I want to tell you a great story, and then we'll end with a few chazal. This story, I think there's someone here who first alerted me to this story. I did not believe this story. And of course, what I usually try to do is try to make as many calls as I can to finally find the truth and the veracity of the story. And I ended up speaking to the person that this story happened with. And this is Mamish Mavel al Arayin. What happened was like this. Of course, I can't say the name, but many, many years ago, there was a Rosh Yeshiva in a big yeshiva who was a wonderful, gentle person. Everybody loved him. His Talmidim loved him, and he loved the Talmidim as well. On Purim, when they would make gramen, even if they made gramen about him, he would get up and retort with gramen about them. And every year, the Bachrim, especially one Bachar, would come into the office of this Rosh Yeshiva at night, and he would take his tefillin, and he would change the knot of the tefillin from Ashkenaz to Sfard. And of course, instead of tying the tefillin one way, the Rosh Yeshiva would have to do it the other way, but of course he didn't. And he knew how to undo the knot and fix it, and that's why the Bacha figured that he would play the trick, because what's the big deal? The Rosh Yeshiva will fix it tomorrow morning. And every year, he did it to the Rosh Yeshiva. And the Rosh Yeshiva smiled. He didn't mind. And of course, the next morning he would come in and do Father Davening, he would switch it. And one year, other Rosh Yeshiva said to him, what do you have to do? Take it, fill it home. He says, no, let the Bacham do it. They enjoy it. Let them do it. Fine. One year, one Rosh Yeshiva convinced him to put it in a little cubby, and he put a combination lock. So the Bacham told me he knew the Rosh Yeshiva is not going to remember the combination lock. He never had a combination lock in his life. So he looked around on the wall. He saw the numbers that were written down. He opened it up, and of course, he switched the lock. One year, the lock, the tefillin knot, was made so tight that the Rosh Yeshiva had a very difficult time opening it. And he came in the morning, and the Olam was beginning to daven. And he tried to undo the knot, and he couldn't do it. And he was getting frantic, because pretty soon it was time for Yishtaba, and he was going to miss Barchu. And pretty soon it was time for Kriya Shema, and he wasn't going to say Kriya Shema with his tefillin, and he was frantically working with the knot, and it didn't work. And finally, he missed Tefillah B'Tzibur. And when he missed Tefillah B'Tzibur, he was mamish devastated. He didn't say anything to the rest of Purim. That Friday night, a few days later, he gave a vad, he gave a shir in the yeshiva, and he said, all the years on Purim, I didn't mind what the Bacha did. But this year, that I should have missed Tefillah B'Tzibur, I can't remember since I'm a little boy that I miss Tefillah B'Tzibur. I'm not Moichel this boy until he comes to ask for Mechila and apologize for what he did. And no one came forward. The Shabbos went by, the Yontif of Pesach went by, the summer went by, and it came Aseret Yimei Tshuva and Shabbos Shuvah. And in the Shabbat Shuvah Drasha, the Rosh Hashiva got up again. And he said, I want you to know that the Rambam says that the Eivishta cannot be Moichel, only those Averis that are Ben Odom Lamokim. But the Averis that are Ben Odom Lachavera, the Eivishta is not Moichel until that person is Moichel. And I want to say again, he said, I'm not Moichel, that person who tied the knot so tight that I should miss Tfilah B'Tzibur until he comes to ask for Mechila. And no one came forward. Yom Kippur went by, Tishrei went by, and in Cheshvan, the Rosh Hashiva was Nifter. He was an older person, and no one ever had asked him for Mechila. A year later, a Bocher, one of the Bochers, the one that I spoke to, was out of town. He was out of town, and on Purim, in a shul that he had never davened before, a little boy came over to him and said to him, there's something wrong with the knot of my tefillin. Could you help me? Do you know anything about it? He said, yeah, it happens to be that I know. And he fixed the knot for this boy. Thought it was kind of strange. Dafkan Purim, somebody should come to him. But didn't make anything of it. The next year he was in a different town. And a day before Purim, an old man came over to him in shul. He never saw this man before, and he said to him, you know, I have a problem with my tefillin. Would you be able to help me? Do you happen to know anything about tefillin? And he said, it happens to be that I know. And he fixed the person's tefillin. And now he began thinking, what is this? 2 years in a row, somebody should come over to me in different cities. A third year, a few days after Purim, someone who he never saw before came over to him and asked him, do you know anything about Hilchas Tefillin? After that third year, he was so frightened, he called up his friends in the yeshiva and he said, I'm begging you, take 10 people and go to the Rosh Hashiva's kever and ask him for mechila for me. Say a few kapit lachtilim. Ask him for mechila. I'm sorry for what I did those years back that I never asked him for mechila. And the bachurim went and they said tefillin by the kever. And no one ever asked this boy again about tefillin. As a matter of fact, he told me that he never again paskened on Hilchas Tefillin. He taught someone else what he knew and he didn't want to have any shaitas. He was afraid. So after a long distance conversation, I spoke to the man for more than 35 minutes, and then I finally realized that he was the one, because he knew too much about the story. So I said to him, tell me, how in the world should you not have asked for mechila? I could understand on Purim you didn't say anything. Friday, on Shabbos, Shuva, how could you not have said anything? So he said to me, I'll tell you why. He said, all the years, I was the one who made the tefillin tight. But that year, there was somebody else who came along with me. And he was the one who made it so tight that the Rosh Hashiva couldn't open it. But I knew that the Rosh Hashiva thought I was the one. But I wasn't going to admit that I did it because it wasn't really my fault. Maybe today I realized that I should have done it. So I said, what happened to the other guy? Where is he? Why didn't he ask for mechila? He said, he died young. And this man never got married. Never. They should have known that they should have admitted that they were wrong. Many people are not big enough to realize or to say, I'm sorry. To say, I'm wrong. If you can overcome that, especially as we approach the month of Elul, that you know in the past year, you may have wronged someone, but you're big enough to admit it. I'm sorry, I did something wrong. That will bring you happiness because that will make you a better person. So let's remember this is a month, this is a time of Simcha. Let us try to do our mitzvahs for Simcha. Let us try to remember that if we do a mitzvah with Simcha, we give it chashivas. Let us try to remember that even if London is cloudy, our minds don't have to be cloudy. Let us look for the good. Let us take time to smell the flowers and enjoy and be grateful for the good that we have. Let us not, chas v'shalom, rejoice at the fall of others. Let us remember to give people not only money, but time, but chizuk. And let us try to conquer those traits that really deserve conquering. The Rav Tzadik mentioned that when the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, Miriam, in the Torah, it says, Vatikach Miriam hanaviya achos Aaron. Miriam took, she was the sister of Aaron, she took the toys, the drum, Vatechenu kol anoshim, and all the women went out, Vitupim over Mechaylai. They made a dance. they all celebrated in a round circle. What's so great about a circle? You know what's so great about people who dance in a circle? That everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. Because if one person is out of step, if one person feels they're higher, it's not a circle anymore. And that's the beauty of a circle. The beauty of a circle is that we're all the same. No one is better than anyone else. There's no kinna. There's no sinna. We're all the same. We're in it together. The last Gemara in Tainus says, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asayis Mechayla Tzadikim. The Eivishter in the end of time is going to make a Mechayla. He's going to make a big circle for the Tzadikim. And he's going to sit in the middle. And every person is going to be Mara Be'etzvoy. They're going to point with a finger and they're going to say, Bayoy Mahu, they're going to say, Hinei Elokeinu Zeh Kivinu Loi V'yoshiyenu. This is the Hashem that we hoped for, and He helped us. This is the Hashem, Zeh Hashem Kivinu Loi, Nogila V'nismacha B'shuasai. Why will it be a day of happiness? Because we're all going to be there. We're all going to be tzaddikim. Because we're all going to realize that we can be the best that we are with the talents that we have. And I don't have to be like you, and you don't have to be like me. But you have to be the best that you can be. And I have to be the best that I can be. And if that's what we accomplish, then we're all the same. We're all the same distance away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're all the same amount. Because no one has to be like anybody else. All you have to do is be the best that you can be with that which Hashem gave you. And with that, I want to mention the B'nai Yisrael, who says an ingenious little pshat. We said that the Gemara says, Lo yahayu yomim tovim liYisrael k'tu b'av. There was no yontif like tu b'av. Tu, tesvav, he says, is the 15th. B'av, he says, is be'aleph beis. What's the 15th letter of the aleph beis? The letter samach. How do Yidden write a samach? A circle. We're all the same. What's the greatest yontif? When we're all like that circle. Let us hope that we won't be jealous of each other. We'll all be proud and join in the joy of each other. Never chas v'shalom to be happy at someone else's fault, but rather attain happiness. Help others attain happiness. And that way we'll be zoicha to see that mechoil for the tzaddikim. It should come in our time that we should be zoicha to say, Zeh hayoyim osa Hashem, nogilo v'nismach aboy. It should happen in our time, and thank you for listening.